Garrett said he wanted to be a Jaguar, so I'm sure he's going to fail a drug test by the time Combine.
Welcome back to another episode of Keep Chopping Wood. This is episode 31. Episode 32 we'll be taping, I'm assuming, right after the game with Zach again. So I'm very excited. This week we have a special guest, Arif Hassan, from various Vikings blogs. I'll let him plug himself. The main one that I know you from is Daily Norseman. That's the one that you've been at for quite some time, right, Arif?
Yeah, as a Daily Norseman for a long time, I still podcast for them. I don't write as much for them, so you can see my writing at 1500ESPN.com and coldomaha.com.
Hell yeah, man. Moving up and doing big things in the football writing world now, huh?
Yeah, man, I'm getting paid. It's crazy. It's wild.
That's the best. so this week, I don't think that we... Hank, do you have anything to say about the Bronco game? I team every week, so
I have less than zero to say at this point.
Brian, do you? I don't have any. I didn't even watch the game.
I have less than Hank to say about this.
So we're gonna jump right into the Viking stuff. Just to start us off, like I always say, thank you for rating and reviewing us on iTunes and helping with the outreach of the show, and for sending your questions into the Keep Chopping Wood handle. I know we didn't get into questions last week with Chaps. It was kind of a shorter episode, but I believe you got some for us this week, right, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got about 8 or 9.
All right, cool. So we'll be wrapping up with that segment again. So please keep sending your questions in for next week's show. I'm sure Ryan will be tweeting out little snippets from the Keep Chopping Wood handle, too. And if you're an advertiser, please reach out to Keep Chopping Wood, to either on Twitter or through Gmail, whatever. We'll work with any budget, advertising, whatever. We're starting to get a decent amount of plays now, so if you want to you want us to hawk some products for you or send us some free shit, we would be more than happy to do that. So jumping right into this... which seems to be the movable force versus the resistible object. That's how it seems like both fan bases are treating it at this point. It's kind of interesting. It seems like neither fan base really thinks that their team can win this game.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen a fan base like less eager to play the Jaguars.
That's a good point, because usually like everybody's treating it like a bye week, like, oh, we can rest dudes if we want to. It's pretty lock it up as a win. But Arif, what's going on with the Vikings right now? They started out super hot. I know the offensive line has just been a fucking mess. But like, what is they've lost five of their last six, correct?
Yeah. Over the last seven, they're 1-6. So I think that tells you kind of why the fan base is like, yeah, screw it, I'm gonna lose to the Jaguars. They're pretty like confident they're going to lose to the Jaguars, but they still got hope for that Packers game. So I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, wow. So you guys are still pretty much – you're in the thick of things for the NFC North still, right? And I think Detroit's in the lead, but they're not exactly running away with it either. Like, everybody's kind of right around the same record.
Yeah, if Detroit goes 2-2 and the Vikings win out, I think that gives the Vikings the North or something like that. Maybe they have to go 1-3. I don't know. I should pay more attention. But it's definitely – that the Vikings could win the NFC North, but they're definitely like on the outside looking in for that now.
Yeah, I mean, I bet on them to win on Thanksgiving, and just watching Sam Bradford hanks it down the stretch of that game. And I will never bet money on Sam Bradford to like ever get. They lost both of their games to Detroit, right? So Detroit have a tiebreaker.
So you have to win out. So they basically have 2.5 games on them.
Yeah, so that's going to be tough. I don't know, man. You are getting us. We are the weekly slump buster for everybody, though. So maybe this is the week to get you guys back on the right track.
We busted a couple of slumps. We busted the Washington slump. They were losing a lot. I think actually Detroit was in a little bit of a slump before we picked them up. So yeah, there's a lot of slump busting going on.
Yeah. So both of these teams, not totally similar. The Vikings have they're deep, like everybody, their defense was a known commodity going into the season. whereas the Jags defense kind of caught people by surprise a little bit, and the offense progressed really. The Vikings are kind of like they're not that dissimilar from what they were last year. They're just they're obviously, I mean, I'll let you talk about whether you think they're worse or not at quarterback. Offensive line for sure seems to be worse, and they seem to have a little bit less health on the defense. It's like my assessment of them overall correct?
Yeah, a little bit less health. I wouldn't say that on the defensive side that they've got a lot less health. Obviously, with Harrison Smith out now, that's pretty significant. But before then, you know, you're missing Sharif Floyd, who's been missing for a lot of games anyway. So, you know, that wasn't as big of a surprise of a loss. But you know, they've got a pretty excellent defensive line despite that. You know, Xavier Rhodes is playing well. He only missed two games. Terrence Newman is freaking playing out of his mind. I mean, the defense is, it's better than it was last year, which is really nice because it's the only reason that the team is competitive. It's really, all the health problems are really just on the offense. They've lost seven, I think, offensive linemen.
That's crazy. And so it doesn't sound like you would say at all that a top five stat, like, or whatever like ranking that you want to go by for the Vikings defense, it's not misleading at all or anything this year. It really and truly, I mean, well, like I said, they were kind of a known commodity going into the season anyways. So they're carrying the team week to week, basically. So it's not misleading at all.
Yeah, it's definitely not misleading. They're sort of leading the way. And like the thing is, the points scored stuff, when points are scored on them, that you really don't want to blame them too much, not because you're like attached to them in any way, but because, like, for example, the one of the touchdowns scored in the Dallas game was because of a special teams fumble at the 4-yard line. So the defense gives up that touchdown, you're not really all that pissed. And they still, even if you cut that, they still like cut Dallas's offensive production in half,
right?
Not just in points, but in a lot of like different statistics against that offensive line. I think it was the best defensive line performance that Dallas offensive line gave up in the last 2 years. I think that defense is like legit. I don't think there's really anything that misleading about it because they've got, you know, threats at every level. Now that Kendricks is playing well at linebacker, you've got just a really solid, first line, second line, and then the secondary.
Yeah, definitely. The Jaguars, on the other hand, they keep climbing the rankings as the season goes on in terms of their defensive rankings. Scoring defense is still they're not very highly ranked there, which is, I mean, kind of understandable because the offense keeps sporting the other, like, you know, 6 to 9 points every week, whether it's a pick six, special teams, sort of, you name it, like the Jaguars will find a way to spot the other team points. But Hank, do you think that the Jaguars, like, their top five ranking or, you know, whatever, do you think it's kind of misleading for them? I mean, like the Vikings, I don't think there you could really make any argument against that, but I think that you could kind of poke holes into the idea that the Jaguars are a top defensive unit.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. Like, they've obviously been playing better. I mean, we've talked about it. They're not at the point where they're a liability anymore, but at the same time, you also kind of have to look at the schedule. They've played some really bad quarterbacks like Paxton Lynch and Aaron Rodgers and Brock Osweiler. You know, this goes on. But their big thing has been, I think they've been touting like they're not like allowing passing yards or whatever. And we've talked like their secondary is playing well, but on the other hand, teams don't really like have to pass on them to win. You know, you can like play safe against them offensively to win because you know you're going to get spotted points one way or another. And they're still not getting sacks or turnovers. So I don't know. Like,
don't worry about that.
No, I don't know. Yeah, so they're still playing like a middling unit, but I'd say probably around top 15-ish, just because, you know, they're not like changing games or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, people will probably get pissed about that because when you watch them, the defense is literally the only reason why they're in games or anything. And I think that their best stat, I believe, is that they're second in yards per play, which is actually pretty, pretty impressive. But I think there is a lot of credence to what you say to where, and I think Lagerman and Baselli have both talked about it on the Jaguars Today shows. It actually reminds me a lot of the 2012 season, which I believe was Blaine's rookie year and Jack Del Rio's final year, when he got fired like with 4 weeks left or whatever. And the defense, you know, it had really, really good. It was ranked really, really good in a lot of different categories, but they still didn't get sacks. But the thing was, is every time they faced an elite quarterback, they got lit up. I still remember Drew Brees lighting them up in week two of that season. And like how you said, teams could kind of really play them really conservatively because the Jaguars' offense wasn't ever going to threaten you. And if anything, they were actually going to help you. So,
yeah. Kind of, when you watch the Vikings defense, you see them, like, the defense is straight up changing the games for them, winning the games for them. And really the only game the Jaguars defense has done that this year would probably be the Colts game, where I want to say they had two turnovers. They might have just had the one and six sacks. And since then, they're literally not getting, like, any of either outside of Yannick and Malik Jackson. And
it was the London game, right?
Yeah.
It's a London game.
Yeah. Another bad quarterback in Andrew Luck, but that's beside the point.
They're going to get bad quarterbacks, man. Yeah.
No, the turnover thing has straight up become, like, last week, put a nail in the column for me. It's not even, like, just bad luck. It's just they're completely inept at it. Like, Eric, did you see the Sean Gibson play where he, like, straight up dropped it and, like, flipped it up like he was, like, downing a punt?
Like I said, I didn't see it live, but I definitely saw a million GIFs and lines of it. Oh. So that's, like, the second time he's done that this year. He's, like, actively causing turnovers to not happen. He's breaking up.
Former Cleveland Brown is bad. Who knew?
So, a pretty good preview of the two defenses. Not stuff that we've talked about all of this a little, you know, before. But I think that the main thing that stands out to me is, like I keep saying, is with the Jaguars on every level of their defense, like, the best guy on each level, whether it's the D-line, the linebackers, or the defensive backfield, it's a guy in the defensive backfield, their best player is a rookie. The linebacking core, their best player is a 210-pound weak side linebacker, who's actually a stud. And then on the defensive line, you have a rookie defensive end and Malik Jackson. And for every single level, it's like, the best guy is solid to good, but it's not somebody that you're going to say is, like, top five at their position or anything like that. There's no real game changers on their defense. Jalen doesn't get turnovers or anything like that, whereas you look at the Vikings and you have on the defensive line, like, and I know Harrison Smith isn't playing, but, like, there's guys where on almost every level where you can say, like, that dude's, like, elite at his position, and I think that's the big difference between the two.
I was actually just looking up this turnover thing. So the Vikings rank third, the defense ranks third in number of drives that end in a turnover, and Jacksonville ranks dead last.
Yep, that sounds about right. And that's the difference right there.
Yeah, I can't see how this doesn't end horribly.
So I guess we'll move past the soft, squishy spots for these two teams, the actual bright spots, and get into some darker subject material. Both of these teams had to replace their offensive coordinators in the middle of the season. The Jaguars fired Greg Olsen and replaced him with Nathaniel Hackett. Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson, and himself finally met and had a real sit down to try to get everything on the right page. So I'm glad that they're finally doing that at week 14. It might be a little bit late for that. You might want to have worked on that stuff earlier in the season, but I'm glad they're doing that. But what exactly happened with North Turner?
Well, I think I still think he was, like, forced out and they let him resign because he's, like, and he's, like, friends and stuff like that. So I don't think it was, I'm too old for this shit, although that's a pretty good excuse because he's, like, 75 or something. I don't know. He's basically Tom Coughlin. But he wouldn't change. And I think internally within the team, they, like, kind of understood, hey, with this, like, offensive line, you can't keep calling, like, these seven-step dropbacks. You can't have a timing that, you know, puts these quarterbacks at risk, especially when you've only got, like, one receiver who can consistently get open deep, and he's, like, 6 feet tall. Right. So, you know, you're really maximizing a play that nobody is good at. Like, Sam Bradford / Teddy Bridgewater are not known to be deep throwers. That offensive line is not good at protecting the pocket a lot, and your receivers are not good at getting open deep and or tracking the ball. Like, for example, like, Patterson and Johnson are decent at getting open deep, but they can't track the ball, so who cares? He was designing an offense for, like, one where, like, none of the players could get it together. And he wouldn't really, like, he changed it somewhat significantly in the offseason, but as soon as he made that change, he stuck to that particular change, and he needed to move away from it because, like I said, they lost seven offensive linemen. And so he just wasn't adapting the offense to their needs. And so that's kind of why he was forced out. Pat Shurmur has, like, significantly reduced the sack rate of the offense. They've increased the completion rate, which is okay within this context because it prevents, like, massively negative plays. And has emphasized stuff that the offense is good at. It's a really good yards after catch offense. It's a really bad pass protection offense. Sam Bradford is pretty used to throwing the short game. So they have a coordinator on their staff who's, like, good at this stuff and has worked with Sam Bradford before at this exact thing. And it just made sense to just have him do it. So that's what happened.
But didn't Zimmer, like, call Norv out in the press conference, like, a day or two after? Like, just plain out, like, call him an asshole or something?
I don't remember that. Maybe. I don't know. Zimmer calls a lot of people assholes, so...
That's fair.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. He's still real fucking salty about the Petrino thing in Atlanta.
Yeah, someone asked him about it recently. He's like, I don't want to talk about it. And it's like, Jesus, man, that happened like 9 years ago.
That's crazy. I can't believe that. I'm getting fucking old. That's all I have to say. Yeah. for nostalgia and, you know, making me feel even older, somebody basically brought up, like, this Jimmy Smith Ring of Honor induction for the game this weekend. It's basically a 20-year reunion for the 1996 Jaguars team.
Holy crap, man.
Yeah, so I think Tad Dickman, the Jags PR guy, tweeted out a list of, like, all the former player, like, alumni that are coming back for it, and it's basically, like, everybody that has ever played for the team. Pretty much. I mean, there were some names on there. Like, TJ, I haven't thought of TJ Slaughter since, like, 2003. reminded me that he had, like, the best linebacker name ever and, like, the best picture in a media guide for a linebacker ever. So, just taking a trip down nostalgia lane real quick. Yeah. Arif, you and I, this is why I called you my enemy before you got on the show.
I actually saw that, but I just couldn't get, like, my microphone to work to tell you I was listening.
Heard me. I knew you were there. I knew what I was doing.
Yeah,
so the running game. I mean, I know that that everything has been pretty much hosed because the offensive line has been so bad. But would they have been any better this year if they had had Adrian healthy? Do you think? Do you think that he would have been could have helped them at all this year, or was it just such a lost cause? I don't think he was real productive before he even went down, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he only had 1.6 yards a carry when he went out, and that was actually in both games. He finished with 1.6 yards a carry, so I guess he was remarkably consistent from that end. Both running backs are exceeding that now, which is nice, but it kind of sucks that I have to clarify that because this is. We're keeping track of, like, the worst running game in NFL history, and this used to be that, and then it was as bad as the 1953 Giants, and now it's as bad as, like, the 72 Oilers or something? I don't know. We're getting further up in history, which is nice. But
those are good records to go for, those worst of all time ones. Those are the most fun ones to chase. Well, I'm sure we're at a few with... We're for sure going to be there with Gus by the end of it.
Yeah, you're fitting right in on the Jaguars podcast.
I'm really excited about Bortles hitting pick six records. That's, like, that's really cool.
That's my favorite stat, I think, about this team, is him having more career pick sixes than he does wins. To a stat guy that's on the show, my favorite stat, stats like those are rate stats. So... Jaguars on pace to set all kinds of rate stats for futility, I'm sure.
Oh, that's fantastic. So this is a good game for that, then. as for Adrian...
He's going to throw a pick six.
Oh, yeah, I'm confident he'll throw it. Actually, did you know, I think Blake has two fewer pick sixes than Sam Bradford has touchdowns this year. So... The Vikings might score more on defense.
I have to delete so many tweets I sent to you last year.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I didn't actually answer the Adrian question. His last seven games, if you go all the way back into 2016, his last seven games combined for 3.8 yards a carry. So I'm not confident he would help. He is the lowest yards after contact ever in his career. He has the lowest yards before contact in his career. This offensive line can't run block for shit. I don't think that Adrian would help that much. I think that, like, if you could instantly replace, like, Jerick McKinnon with Adrian Peterson, like, there might be some improvement in the running game, but not, like, to the point where it's meaningful.
Is he for sure gone next year?
I think so. I don't know. This team is really dumb about this shit. They kept Jared Allen on for a year longer than they needed to, and it was pretty obvious, and his contract was, like, easy to cut, and they didn't do it. They, like, guaranteed Adrian's salary after he missed a year for being out. Like, they were like, I don't know if we should trade or cut Adrian Peterson, and Adrian Peterson's like, I'm not coming back to guarantee my salary. And they're like, no, yeah, actually, good point. Like, that made no sense. So they're really dumb about it. But it's like it's an $18 million cap hit next year, so I think they're going to try and renegotiate it, and I think Adrian is just, he doesn't have any self-awareness, so I think he's going to refuse to have it renegotiated, and then they're going to have to trade him to some dumb team.
Future Jaguar Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, if only Toby Garrett was still on the roster, that'd be a great.
Oh my God. So, I mean...
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a good
I don't
thing
want to talk about
you, by the way. I feel like that's my fault. But
yeah, I do blame you a little bit for that. You and Darren. You and Darren both. I am upset with both of you. Darren had the gall. Darren had the gall to call Toby his friend.
Dude, that should have been Heisman winner Toby Gerhardt.
California's all-time leading high school rushing record. Like, dude had like 2,000 yards his senior year. I think he was just fucking an incredible high school player. I think the Vikings made him gain too much weight, though. Like, do you agree with that?
I was actually just about to say exactly that. I think they made him gain too much weight. Well, I think
he was never that heavy. He wasn't coming out of high school or at Stanford. He was, and he was pretty fast and athletic.
Yeah, no, and at the combine he wasn't that heavy. He put up pretty good combine numbers. And the Vikings made him gain weight. They made him gain too much weight, probably, and they made him change his running style, which is either amazing for running backs, like it was for Chris Johnson, or it's dead death knell for running backs.
Yeah. That's like, yeah, dude. That's we're with the running back. We're changing his running style. That just
we drafted him in the second round, but we don't like how he does anything, so...
Yeah, interesting. Interesting strategy there.
So, kind of sounds like the Jaguars and a certain number 3 overall pick I know. But
yeah, no, yeah.
That's none of my business.
See, I don't even know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say consecutive number 3 overall picks, actually.
You're on pace for a third number 3 overall, right? You're going to get gear number 3?
Yeah, we'll see what... God, man. I still think that they're going to draft Fournette.
Yeah, Garrett said he wanted to be a Jaguar, so I'm sure he's going to fail a drug test by Tom Combine.
So, enough about shitty running backs and draft prospects that there's absolutely no way we'll get. Kind of going back to the holding pattern that Minnesota is for the foreseeable future. It's kind of up in the air what's going to happen with Adrian. Is Sam Bradford going to be the quarterback for this team, like, for the foreseeable future? Like, has there been any news on the long-term prognosis of Teddy's knee injury, whether he'd be able to make a comeback at all, let alone next year? Like, what's going to happen with this team over the next 2 or 3 years?
Dude, I have no idea. Bradford only has one more year remaining on his contract, and I feel like in the offseason, if Teddy is not showing, like, very obvious signs of progress, and I'm betting the team will leak that he's showing signs of progress, whether or not he actually is, in order to win this negotiation. But I think he's going to be campaigning for a contract extension. And I'm kind of worried about that, but I guess I'm not that worried because I have no idea if Teddy's actually, like, healthy. So if he gets extended, I'm not, like, upset. But there's no real news on Bridgewater. And I think when you have injury recovery, no news is bad news because teams are very excited to, like, share good news. I do know that he's been, like, dancing and shit, so, like, that's...
Dollars.
Yeah. I think the trajectory they're probably on right now is that he'll enter next season on the PUP, and he'll be ready halfway through the season when, like, Bradford gets, like, injured. And then he'll just be back in, like, you know, rotating through the two of them.
Sounds like something that would happen to the Vikings.
Yeah, if you told me before the season, like after they'd signed Bradford, if you told me before the season, you're going to have 12 injuries, I want you to predict, like, 6 of them. Sam Bradford would have been 1 through 5. Like, it's nuts to me that he was able to survive this, like, torrential downpour of, like, injury and misery.
How do you feel about him, like, overall, though? Would you be okay with them committing to him for, like, not the long-term, but, like, I mean, I don't know what kind of extension he might or might not get, but would you be okay with them, like, doubling down on him? How do you feel like he's played overall, circumstances considered?
I don't mind, like, the abstract idea of an extension. I do mind how much he'll probably be able to command for an extension.
Right.
I think that he has played, like, fine. I think that he is, like, figuring out the non-athletic Alex Smith track. And he's been relatively smart with the football. And even though he has a decent arm, he's, like, very cautious. And that doesn't mean he's going to decline, like, downfield throws. But if he thinks there's risk there, he will. So it's not quite the same as Alex Smith.
Right.
And it's really frustrating because you know, you watch, like, some of the stuff that's happening, like, on 3rd and 8, he'll throw for 2 yards a bunch, and you don't know from the broadcast, like, if anyone is open or, you know, what the hell he's doing. And then you take a look at it, like, on the All-22, when it's like, yeah, there's, like, people open if you're willing to throw it into a somewhat tight window, and it's worth it because it'll convert a 3rd down, and you've got the arm for it, and he just declines those options. So he's, like, he's a fine-ish quarterback, but I'm, like, really worried that he's, like, playing at QB purgatory levels. And I don't know how I feel about that. If he's playing behind, like, an Oakland Raiders offensive line, he's probably pretty good. But he can't create. He can only operate within the structure of the play. And I think that's what Vikings fans are, like, really missing from what they're used to seeing from Teddy, is that he, you know, had the ability to improvise and move outside of the structure of the play. And so when things are rolling for him, but he just, it's not that he gets in his head, it's just that if he senses there's danger, he's just going to turtle. And so with all of that in mind, he's, like, fine, I guess. Like, I know it's just mostly criticisms, but, like, he, like, makes decent decisions. He's, like, pretty accurate. He's got a pretty good arm. And in 2-minute situations, aside from that interception of Darius Slay, he can let it loose a little bit more. The way that Zimmer likes to coach, and the way that they have is Pat Shurmur as the offensive coordinator, and I think they're going to extend him. I think he's going to turn from interim into full-time offensive coordinator. I think that they're both really fine with that, given, like, the nature of the defense and, like, how important it is to maintain possessions and restrict the number of, like, field position hurting turnovers and stuff like that. And so, like, going forward, I can see them, like, really buying into that as, like, an overall strategy. And Bradford obviously is pretty familiar with that with his time in Philadelphia, although Philadelphia didn't really have the defense to sort of back that up. And they're also okay using Bradford's short passes to extend the running game too. And these are all things that, you know, he's been good at. These are all things that he's comfortable with. And I think that that's probably a big part of the reason that they traded for him in the first place. So I don't think they're really surprised by what they saw out of Bradford, except pleasantly surprised in the first couple of games, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. And like you said, it's basically how Zimmer wants to play. They know what they were going to get out of him. And they're never going to ask him, and he is never going to outside of himself. And when you got that kind of defense, I mean, that's basically all you can ask for a guy that's not a transcendent top quarterback, because those high variance types are almost, like, even more maddening especially for defensive head coaches.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I can't imagine, for example, you know, Favre with Zimmer. Or I guess Bortles with Bradley, who knows?
Yeah. Nope, yeah, that makes a ton of sense. So, I mean, I don't really have much more on the fight. Hank, do you got any more questions for Arif?
No, not really.
We were going to play it last week, but we weren't really prepared for it. So we'll include Arif in it this week. It's called backup or Bortles, and we're gonna go through, we're gonna go through the backup quarterbacks in the NFL, and you give your opinion. Just you don't have to give a big long take or anything, but just say whether you would rather have the backup or Bortles.
You know, you guys know I was like against Bortles from the get go, right?
Like is going that, all the going that, all the way, like a draft take.
From the draft tape after his 35 touchdown season, I was like, no, he's actually still bad.
Yeah, no, that was a wise hill for you to choose to camp out on. No deaths for you on that hill. You've got your flat planted there, and you own that territory.
Very proud of that.
Yeah, you and solely planting flags at the top of it.
All right, so I guess we'll just go in alphabetical order. The backup for the Arizona Cardinals is how I don't how the fuck have they gone this long and they haven't. Drew Stanton is still the backup quarterback in Arizona. Backup or Bortles?
I need to know who my receiving core is because that changes the answer.
Okay, so this game is you either like would you rather have Bortles on the Jaguars or this backup on the Jaguars?
Oh, okay,
who would perform better on the Jaguars?
Okay. Wait, Bortles, come on.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, that's right.
Hank?
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen a Drew Stanton game in my life, so that's fair. I pride myself
Your answer can still be Stanton without saying anything.
It's Drew Stanton is the one that ran out of the back of the end zone, right?
Yeah, I mean, if a reef is saying Blake Bortles is better, I'll go ahead and stand with him.
Atlanta, Blake Bortles is true father, the pick six man himself, Matt Schaub.
Matt Schaub, easily.
Hank?
Yeah, Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub, no, Matt Schaub, shut up.
Baltimore, Ryan Mallett.
God damn.
Yep. I didn't say this was going to be fun.
If I play Bortles, I can just make him a Wildcat quarterback, right? Just make him run?
That's what I'm saying. Run the Tebow offense. Like, you don't have as good of a passer, but he can still run a little bit.
Yeah, I'm picking Bortles so that he can swing it to TJ Yeldon or something.
That's basically what the Buffalo game plan was. Best game of the season, and he had 150 yards passing, no passing touchdowns, and like some nice running. It was a fucking Tebow style line.
Did he do the spin move?
I don't believe he did the spin move, but when he runs, it is really funny to watch because he like kicks his own ass when he runs with his heels. It's very ungraceful. Hank, I know you don't fuck with Ryan Mallett at all.
No, yeah. Give me a good old number five.
Blake Bortles or EJ Manuel?
This is a terrible idea.
Shit, man.
As a Jaguar fan, I want to say Manuel, but as an FSU fan,
this is tough.
This is the worst question of my life. And I failed to find
one. That could not beat Christian Ponder for a job.
Okay, Blake Bortles, Toby Gerhart, and EJ Manuel all played in a game last year, and EJ Manuel was the worst player in that game.
Okay, no, I'll take Bortles if only because Manuel lost a quarterback competition to Matt Castle.
That's fair. That's a very fair answer.
It is.
Carolina, Derek Anderson. This is a good one.
Ooh.
I mean,
both one hit wonders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm taking Derek Anderson.
Yeah.
No, I'd probably take Bortles.
Yeah, I probably would too.
Just like him, actually, he is the like same amount of like efficiency of a quarterback playing literally no arms, but like he scored like three rushing touchdowns last couple weeks. I mean, that's his literally only saving grace.
Both of them in their second years had their breakout seasons. I'm looking at Anderson's right now. 56% passing, 3,700 yards.
28 touchdowns or something?
29 touchdowns and 19 interceptions. It's a very Bortles-esque stat line right there.
Yeah, I'll take his veteran savvy. He comes from a team with a halfway winning culture right now, so I'll take him.
I think I think that's fair.
Hey, yeah. No,
did you give an answer?
Give me Royals on that one.
Interesting.
I mean, it's
Chicago.
Who's there?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry, I keep interrupting you.
Is there backup like Matt Barkley at this point or Jake?
No, he's the starter now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, who are you counting as the backup?
The one and only.
Okay. Give me Matt Barkley over Bortles and Bortles over Jake Cutler. Yeah. We're coming out firing. Yeah.
I'll take both of them over Bortles.
Yeah, I think I would too. I've seen enough, man. Pretty much Cincinnati, AJ McCarron. I think AJ McCarron is fucking terrible, and I would rather see him with the Jaguars right now.
I'd take AJ McCarron if he removes the tattoos.
Yeah. Deal breaker, man.
I hate AJ McCarron. I would definitely take him over Bortles, just because, like, if you ask him to do something in real life, he'll do the opposite. But if you ask him to do something in a football game, like, he'll do that.
Yeah, I mean, how did he end up playing all right? I didn't really watch him with Cincinnati at all last year. Like, how did he do when Dalton was out? Was he, like, serviceable? Right,
but I think teams started figuring him out, so he started dipping. But early on, he was doing pretty well.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes with these backup types. Cleveland, Josh McCown.
Oh, McCown, obviously.
Dallas, Mark Sanchez.
I don't get to pick Tony Romo?
No, you don't. Tony Romo would never play for...
Injured Tony Romo.
Like, with the rest, Bortles. Yeah. With Tony Romo with a broken back over Blake Bortles.
I'll take Mark Sanchez. I don't think he's necessarily better, but, like, at least he's won games, I guess.
I mean, that's...
he won more games in one season than Bortles has in his career, I think, so...
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. This is terrible.
Denver, Paxton Lynch.
No. Is it just for one season?
Yeah, let's say it's just for one season.
Yeah, I'll take Bortles for one season and Paxton Lynch for, like, five.
Jesus. This is the worst thing I've ever created.
this was your idea.
Yeah. I know.
I'm just following orders right now.
I'm really sorry.
Paxton or Blake?
I have receipts that say Paxton would be the worst quarterback in the NFL in any other game except against the Jaguars, so give me Paxton. Dude, he was terrible last week. He is terrible. Draft Twitter will never recover from him burning Adams.
Oh. Detroit, Dan Orlovsky.
Jesus, he's still around?
He's still around, man.
He's the other guy that ran out of the back of his end zone.
Yep.
Dude, backup quarterback's the best job in the NFL.
It really is, man.
He wasn't so bad for, I mean, like, they didn't win a game, but he wasn't so bad for Detroit. Yeah, I'll take Orlovsky.
I don't think that's too controversial of a take. I'm looking up his numbers right now. Not bad.
Yeah.
That's, like, exactly what you would want from a backup quarterback. Like, that level of stat lines. Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
So Dan Orlovsky, we would rather have him than Blake Bortles. Good to know. Green Bay, Brett Hundley, this one's not even a fucking question.
Yeah, obviously, Brett Hundley.
Yeah, I mean, the bigger question at this point is Aaron Rodgers or Blake Bortles, but...
Yeah, Green Bay probably should be playing this game, like, with their own depth chart. Houston, Tom Savage.
Jesus.
The great Tom Savage.
No, I'll take Blake because Tom Savage is an immobile Blake with less game experience.
Good take.
Yeah.
Hank?
Yeah, no, yeah, Sam is right.
They are another team that might want to be playing this game with their own depth chart. I'm not sure. Like, I don't think that Tom Savage is good at all, but I don't know that Brock is any better. Scott Tolzien.
Scott Tolzien.
Yeah, I was really impressed with him on the fucking for the Thanksgiving game against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Play ball.
That's depressing.
Sully on his podcast thought that Scott Tolzien was a punter. So like he swore that
he still does. He still does.
Are we sure that he didn't have like a cousin or a brother that was a punter for like some other NFC North team? We host a gambling podcast for those who don't know.
Bank and mortgage.
Jacksonville, Chad Henne / Brandon Allen.
I was really hoping you'd get to Jacksonville. I would definitely take Chad Henne.
Yeah.
Brandon Allen's the guy that massaged his own hand so he'd have a bigger hand size, right?
Did it work?
Is he really?
I feel like that's an important question.
Because he measured in with a hand size at the senior. I'm confident it's him now that I think about it. He measured in with like a hand size at the Senior Bowl, and it was like 9 1/4. And everyone told him like that's below the cutoff for a lot of GMs. And so he got a bunch of hand massages, and at the combine it measured at 9 1/2. So it did work, and that's why I'm taking him.
That's a really interesting. Wow.
He's on your team, man. You didn't know this?
Okay. I had no idea, dude. I float around in draft Twitter, but I'm not truly draft Twitter anymore. I watch like...
If you don't know that story, guys, you can't be. That's so amazing.
No, I'm not. That is an incredible story. Wow. I want to start Brandon Allen now. I'm fully on board with that. I don't think Blake... I don't see that resourcefulness out of Blake Bortles.
No.
Dude, when I type in Brandon Allen into Google, it finishes with hand massage.
That's amazing.
Well, that's only because Google takes your recent search history.
No, dude, I know what is. Come on, man.
Miami, Matt Moore. That's a no-brainer, too.
Easy.
Yeah, I'm taking Matt Moore.
How long has he been on the Dolphins?
One season, he like started for Miami.
I think him and Henny rotate like split up. That's.
He looked all right, and then Miami was like, he was hitting free agency. Miami was like, well, you could compete to start somewhere else, or you could definitely back up somebody that we're drafting. And he's like, yeah, I'll just back up somebody.
Yeah. Smart man, dude. Knowing your limitations, like, something Blake Bortles does not do, see?
Dude, the NFL is such a flat circle, because I remember vaguely watching Hard Knocks and seeing, like, David Garrard and him battling it out, like, right after David Garrard got cut.
Minnesota
quarterbacks on the roster for a second, and then David Garrard got hurt again.
Yeah, something like that. It was in Tannehill's. It was in like Tannehill's rookie season, so they had like three people work like trying for the one spot or whatever.
That's amazing.
Go Dolphins. Sean Hill in Minnesota.
I take Sean Hill.
Yeah, I think that's.
You want to talk about a dude who knows his limitations? Definitely Sean Hill.
He's a guy too. Like if you look up his numbers, like when he was spot starting for Alex in San Francisco, and every time he starts, he's another guy that like perfect backup quarterback who actually probably should have gotten a chance to start for a year or two.
I mean, he did kind of get that chance in San Francisco, but yeah.
So, and I mean, like you said, knows how to play within himself. He did lose that week one game against the Titans. I don't remember.
They won it because like Mariota like gifted them like 21 points or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah, there were like three defensive or special team scores, and he was like, "Yeah, I'll take that and do nothing with it." And then they won.
Dude, I'm never tweeting during week one again because Mariota was a complete disaster, and Bortles straight up looked decent week one, and I let so many tweets fly, and they all got faved last week.
Oh no!
So many.
Oh god, dude, I have a lot of AFC South quarterback tweets that I don't want to ever see ever again.
What was that one tweet? It was like the best player from Hawaii and Marcus Mariota, and it was like not a lot of
Jimmy Garoppolo, this one's not even a fucking question.
Yeah, I'll take that handsome one.
That hurt my feelings.
I know he's your son, man. You got to realize.
I know. New Orleans, Luke McCown, the other McCown brother.
Oh, Jesus. God.
I thought it was the same one.
I'm going to take Luke just because he was pretty funny in that Verizon commercial when he started.
Did you see, Luke is the one that had the... is he the one that had the tweet with his daughters with like and his daughter's friends with all of his jerseys or was
yeah.
that? Was that
yeah.
Okay, so Luke, I'm actually looking. Luke has only played for five teams. That's still quite a bit.
The Vikings out of the playoffs a long time ago.
That's right. When he was in where was he?
Wait, no, maybe that's I'm confused.
No, that was the other one. Yeah, that was Josh when he was in Arizona, right?
Yeah, that was Josh. My bad.
Yeah. Fucking McCown. Luke is the one that was actually in Jacksonville for a little bit.
Jesus. That's right.
Yeah. He's the one that started the season out during Blaine's rookie year, remember?
Jesus. Wait, right?
Yeah. They released David Garrard during a luncheon that he was speaking at, like, and they released him right after.
That's amazing.
With Luke McCown and Blaine Gabbert. Just remember that all they had him do was throw a million fucking screens. So, and
he
I would rather I've seen him play in Jacksonville, and I would rather have.
Yeah,
I would rather have.
You know, he's got a touchdown interception ratio of 9-9 if you exclude Jacksonville.
Appropriate. That sounds about right. the New York Giants, Ryan Nassib.
Oh, God.
Former number one player in the draft, according to some
resources. Yeah, former top-ranked player in the draft.
Yeah, former number one player in the draft that got passed by his own former head coach. Jesus, man. Yeah.
Did he play in, like, preseason or anything at all? Like, has he done anything? I can't even think of a Ryan Nassib play.
No, he played in the preseason. He looks so garbage. I'm taking Blake.
All right.
Yeah.
The New York Jets. Who do we consider the backup there right now?
Oh, that's a good question.
It says Bryce Petty on my little list I have, but he's obviously starting now.
Okay. Well, okay, I'll take Blake above Hackenberg. I'll take Petty above Blake.
That's fair. I would take Geno above Blake, to be honest. I'll still die on that hill.
You're 2-10 either way.
Oakland, Matt McGloin.
God damn.
Jesus.
Dude, their Oakland fans is still ride for him too. I'll take Matt McGloin.
Yeah. Those are some more tweets after the league. I have to delete all my car tweets.
Yeah. In 2013, which is when Oakland was at their absolute shit most awful, started six games, 55%, 1,500 yards, 8 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 7.3 yards per attempt. Not too bad for a rookie on a completely, like, that's better than what Blake did his rookie year. So, I would probably actually take McGloin.
Yeah.
Was he drafted?
I don't remember. I want to say yes. I want to say he was a day three, like a late day three guy, but I don't remember.
He was like sixth or seventh round.
This is undrafted, which means he started his rookie year as an undrafted free agent. What is that? Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking this guy.
Yeah, I'm taking McGloin too. Chase Daniel.
Yeah, I'll take Chase Daniel.
Yeah, I'll take Chase Daniel over Jacksonville and Philly starting quarterback. Dude, no.
I'm right with you.
Philly is literally Jacksonville Redux because first that Carson Wentz, like all the arm angle pictures, and then the next day I saw like one of their biggest beat writers, like Doug Peterson is normally a positive coach, and now it's time for him like to get on to people. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, they have Blake and Gus.
Oh my God.
It could not happen to a better team either. I'm so happy.
Well, if you don't remember, they were gonna Gus was number one on their list.
Yeah.
If they didn't hire, if they didn't get Chip at the last second. They were getting ready to hire Gus Bradley. So,
Gus Bradley. That's when that like Gus Bus shit started. God, I hate Bubba. Move on.
This is a good one. Pittsburgh with Landry Jones.
Jesus.
Good God. I'm taking Blake.
Yeah, I'll take Blake.
I think that's fair. Landry Jones is
Landry fine. Can't even get the ball to Antonio Brown.
Yeah. San Diego, Kellen Clemens.
Oh, man.
I feel like I've heard that name.
I think with the right offensive coordinator, I'd take Kellen Clemens, but if it's on Jacksonville with... Was it Hackett the former Buffalo offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll take Blake.
Fair. Seattle, Trevon Boykin.
Easy, Trevon.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Basically any young guy I would rather see ahead of Blake right now. And a lot of older guys too. So
most people. Yeah.
So anyone.
San Francisco, San Francisco, Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, let's take it there.
That's friggin'
hilarious. Let's go there. I know that he just got his starting job back, but we'll take it to a dark place.
He's still second in the league in passer rating in a clean pocket, right? I think I shared you the tweets that did you guys see that the Tony Khan DM'd me angrily when I made fun of him?
I did see that, actually. Tony's been clarifying how he feels with the fans this year.
All right. I think we can both leave it there. Blaine in Jacksonville, hard to imagine. I'll take Blake.
Yeah, I will too. I can't do that. Okay, so what about Cap?
Cap, obviously.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Brennan, a guy that I think might be competing with Blake next year.
Dude, I'd watch that. I mean, not for very long, but at 2 minutes. Yeah.
It'd be a fun quarter and a half.
Are we all taking Glennon?
God, I love making fun of him. Jesus.
I'll take Glennon. Why not?
Tennessee,
he's a guy that probably deserved a chance to start. I don't think he was as good as people thought, but I think he deserves a chance to start.
Yeah, he was basically that whole 2013 class. Just so fucking weird how that class was and turned out. But he statistically, he was probably the best. I think he had the best rookie year out of all of those guys, and then he never played again, did he?
But his thing was like he had a great touchdown interception ratio, right? Because he had a weirdly low yards per attempt or something, but he had like 20 touchdowns. And
I'm looking at it right now, like 6.3 yards per attempt, and then 19 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
Yeah, because I was arguing with Tampa Bay fans about this because they were like. He's great. You know, he's going to start for like 5 more years at least. His touchdown interception ratio is good. And I was doing my number shit, right? I was like, you know, touchdown interception ratio isn't that important, which, you know, sounds really reasonable on face. So, of course, they took it very well.
you've actually totally got me on to adjusted yards per attempt. I think that's how it adjusts for sacks, because I really do think that so much of sacks and sack rate and everything is on quarterbacks. So
yeah, a lot of it's on quarterback, unless you're at the very extremes, unless you're Oakland, Dallas at one end or like Vikings, Chargers at the other end. I think sacks are really mostly on quarterbacks.
Yeah, so that's one that you've really turned me on to. That's a fun one. Castle. Ugh.
Dude, no, I'll take Castle. I had to watch him for like a season and a half, and he was better than Ponder, and I think Ponder and Blake are somewhat comparable, so I'll take Castle.
Yeah. No, during the TNF game against the Titans, there was like a tweet like halfway through the fourth quarter. It was like Matt Castle's warming up, and there was like that moment I was like, fuck, I wish he was on the Jaguars right now. I was reading that tweet and like as a Jaguar.
Dude, Castle underrated pretty.
He is, actually. That's a very astute observation. He is very, like, low-key handsome.
That's yeah.
True. I mean, you can't be Tom Brady's backup without being handsome.
It's true. Unless you're Brian Hoyer.
It's like a rule. That's why they got Ryan out the fucking Dodge, man. We got him out. He's not fitting the physical profile there. Washington. This is our last one. Washington with Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy's still around? Jesus.
Dude, Colt McCoy is still around.
He's lasted through like three different regimes.
Is he
amazing?
Isn't he like a Rhodes Scholar or something weird like that? I don't know.
Is he really? I didn't know.
He went to Texas. He's not a Rhodes Scholar.
Come on. Oh man, I'm looking this up. No, he's not. He got me heated. I'll take him. He's handsome.
Yeah, I think it's fair. 26 touchdowns, 23 interceptions for his career, 60% passing, 6.6 yards per attempt, 6.0 adjusted. Yeah, I think that I probably would too, to be honest. This is something that was our last one, but just looking, I'm looking at Blake's numbers right now. We were talking about they were kind of really like the quick and screen game earlier in the year, so his completion percentage was kind of higher than normal and his yards per attempt was kind of down. But his numbers have definitely normalized over the course of the season. And he had 475 attempts total in his rookie year. He has 483 right now, so it's pretty much exactly the same. And then, so other than, like, his touchdowns being better and his sack percentage being way better, it's pretty much exactly the fucking same, man. Yeah. 58% completions, 2,900 yards, 15 interceptions his rookie year, 15 interceptions this year, so.
He's on pace for the same amount of wins.
Yeah, that's true.
That is just an incredible, incredible fucking regression.
Yeah, get him the hell out of here.
Get him out. He's got to go. I know we're a little bit long right now. Do you want to shoot off some questions real quick, though, before we get out of here?
Sure. On the business of hot takes, @_fast asks, is Neil Sterling good enough to get rid of Julius Thomas?
Julius Thomas is bad enough to get rid of on his own
merit. Yeah, I was about to say, he doesn't even need to be good enough to get Julius Thomas out.
Who? Who's Neil Sterling?
Thank you. God, dude, I saw, Ryan, you tweet out that article, Julius might miss the rest of the season, and I straight up, could not care less.
Number three tight end, Julius Thomas, will miss the rest of the season.
It's terrible.
Number four, if you count Mercedes.
I forgot that he's still getting paid.
Mercedes is good this year. Dude, I like still, Mercedes.
They're still throwing screens. He's going to be casting screens until his 20th season.
Okay. Next question. Lethal Sacks. If you could trade a Jaguars.
Wait, whoa. What was the name of the handle again?
Lethal Sacks.
All right. I just. Go ahead with the question. I just needed to hear it again.
You could trade one player on the Vikings defense with the same position player from the Jaguars defense. Who would you pick?
Jesus, where would you start?
Yeah. Who's Dante Fowler's counterpart?
Danielle Hunter?
Yeah, probably Hunter.
I don't even care who his counterpart is. I'd make that trade.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good one. Hey, what's the deal with Anthony Barr this year?
He sucks. I don't know.
You think he's hurt? I've seen some people say that he might be hurt because it's been like that bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he might be. I think he might be playing through it because he's slower. And I've never seen him be slow. Even when the Vikings planted a guy to call him fat in the media, he wasn't slow. Which, have you heard about this?
No,
I've never heard that story.
So So the Vikings, like, they're the radio station that they have a partnership with is KFAN, and one of the guys, Ben Lieber, you know, used to play for them.
Okay.
And so Ben Lieber's, like, really, actually, he's really good. He'll, like, break down stuff. He'll, like, he'll go into detail and, like, tell you, like, here's what the locker room's like. He's pretty good, unless he's doing.
He's like our Lagerman, then.
Sure.
Yeah, disagree with me.
Every so often, he'll just fire off a really stupid hot take that's, like, really not characteristic of him. And we've come to figure out it's, like, because the Vikings want to, like, float a weird story. Yeah, and so, like, all offseason, he was like, you know, Anthony Barr's fat, right? And we're just like, what? And I was like, yeah, I think he looks fat. It wasn't this year, it was last year, you know, like, when he was having a freaking all-pro season.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, it was in the offseason, it was right before the offseason, so I'm sure they thought, like, that motivated him, right? That the media was running these stories about how fat he was in the offseason. And they're like, yeah, he looks fat, and I was like, I don't see it. He looks great. Like, what is this? So people are asking me again, like, this year, it's like, hey, do you think he's fat again? And I was like, he was never fat.
Not fat.
But yeah, no,
that's
I think that's
actually right on par, because Lagerman, he works for 1010, which isn't a it's not like they're like the Jaguars affiliate, so it's okay. Kind of the same thing going on. It's the exact same thing. I know exactly where you're coming from. What was the original question, like, who we would trade from the Jaguars to the Vikings?
Yeah, Jaguars defense, or take someone off the Vikings defense.
I would say
for the same person on the Jaguars defense.
I would say Harrison for either safety. Well, does Harrison like play? Does Harrison play? He plays strong, right?
He plays both. He's been playing a lot more strong this year, but he played a lot of free safety last year and the year before. He does everything, man.
That's probably who would be my selection.
Wait, no, who? Okay, so this a better question. Who wouldn't you do it for? Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen, for sure.
Kelvin.
Yeah, Kelvin, for sure.
Yeah, Kelvin. Pause for Kendricks is an easy one.
No, yeah. Eric, I don't care what you said. Pause was terrible. Yeah.
I haven't watched him in the last 2 weeks.
He's been horrendous.
Yeah, dude, he's fucking old, man.
I'm saying that, like, he was good when he was young.
Well, you know, like, I banged on him a lot early in his Jaguars career, but the last 2 years, I've actually been pretty impressed with him. Like,
he'll get picked on the first time.
Yeah. Like, he'll get picked on in coverage, obviously, but I've seen what that defense looks like with him not in there, and it is much, much, much worse. So
I'm ready to see it again.
He's our Chad, man. Exactly. He's our Chad. So,
did you know he's never been on a winning team in his career?
Holy shit! Yeah.
He's in Buffalo before.
Not one season.
Wow, Malik versus Sharif. That's a good one.
If Sharif's healthy, I would probably take Sharif, but
I would too. But that's something that you got to factor in.
Yeah,
and the contracts too. The contracts going the other way.
True.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's a good one. That's probably a wash, like, whichever one you want to take.
Yeah. Well, right now I'd take Malik, but I think for like at the beginning of the season, I probably would have taken Sharif.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Both of those tackles. Well, Roy Miller went down, but Aubrey's played really well. But Linval is a very, very unsung player. Nose tackles, for whatever reason, like, major, there's a lot of good ones, but they're very, very underappreciated. And if you don't have one, like, it's fucking horrendous for your defense.
Yeah, oh my God. Like, a couple games last year when the Vikings didn't have Linval, it was just like fucking everybody just magically started sucking. It's like,
it doesn't even look like the same team.
Yeah. So important.
It's incredible. Like, those guys never get more than, like, a couple million a year. But like I said, when you don't have them, you notice it, like, more than any other position. It's crazy. And then I'd take every single one of the Vikings defensive ends. That's not even a fucking question, is it?
No. Yeah, I mean, as good as Yannick is, it's every single
Yeah, it's every single Danielle Hunter, too. Like, it's not even a question.
Yeah, I mean, if I could pair
Brian Robinson too.
Yeah, he's another one, another super unsung player. They got studs everywhere, man.
I'm happy about it.
Dante wouldn't make the Vikings roster, and
no, he wouldn't.
I think we can leave the question on that note.
Are there any other questions?
No.
That's it?
So we'll just do one more question. We've been going for like an hour and a half. Last question. Favorite Jimmy Smith moment?
Ooh, that's a good one. My favorite Jimmy Smith moment probably is the Monday night game against Tampa Bay. It was probably in like 04. When he just, like, they were coming off of their, Tampa Bay was coming off their Super Bowl win. Jacksonville was, like, solid but not good yet. And he just absolutely lit them up. Like, it was fun seeing him again with, like, wasn't great, but seeing Jimmy even at, like, 35, like, averaging 17 yards, like, truly as a deep threat, as like, one of the oldest wide receivers in the league now, that he, when he had a quarterback that had a live arm again. So that Monday night game against Tampa Bay, like, really, really stands out. And then there's the almost 300-yard game against Baltimore. That I know they ended up losing that game, and that was Baltimore's Super Bowl team, actually. But DJ was the hardest guy in the league to cover because every single one of his routes looked exactly the same, and they all looked like nine routes. So those are my two.
Yeah, no. I'm not ancient like you two, so I didn't see like enough of him like in his prime. I only saw like the real like last year or two. So my exposure to him is really just like nostalgia and him on Twitter. But I think it was last year when they announced like he was going into the Pride. Somebody tweeted at him that like he was better than him, better than Mike. What's his name? Michael Irvin at everything except doing drugs or something, and he tweeted, "I think I have him beat doing that too."
Oh, that's amazing!
Oh my god! Well, the apprentice took over from the mentor there. Cause people don't remember, but Jimmy was originally drafted in the second round to Dallas in 1992. So he was right in the thick of things with the White House Cowboys.
Holy crap!
Yeah, so a lot of people don't remember that. So he got drafted in 92, and then I think he broke his leg like halfway through the season.
Holy crap.
Yeah, he had like a really crazy career. Didn't have a 1,000-yard season until he was 27.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I just pulled up his Pro Football Reference. So 23, he was in Dallas, got 0 yards. Then the next time he's on a team is when he's 26 and he's listed as a kick returner.
Yep.
Yeah. Colin brought him here at 95 as a kick returner.
I remember, like in his football life, he wasn't like going to play unless Andre Rison like got cut.
Yep, and that's exactly what happened. They got Andre Rison out of there and plugged Jimmy in, and the rest is history. That's why I said that was crazy. Like, his yards per catch started really dipping as Mark Brunell declined. Like, you see, like, he hits the 2000s and it starts going like 13 and 12, and then you see, like, as soon as Byron starts in 2003, like, it starts jumping right back up, and he's fucking 35, 36 years old. He was a great, like, a very, very unique player.
Did you see this this article that, like, this dude is, like, the head nerd in charge of, like, all the football stats guys?
Uh-huh.
Jimmy Smith, one of the best wide receivers in NFL history?
I have, what's his name? The
is it Aaron or something?
No. Chase Stewart at Football Perspective.
Yeah, it's Chase. Okay. Yeah, I've actually seen that article. And he says like he actually makes a really good. I think Tony actually retweets that one out quite a bit. With the Chase Stewart article,
dude, he convinced me. I don't fucking know anything about Jimmy Smith, and I'm like now I'm like no, he should be in the Hall of Fame. This is a fucking travesty.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, the thing that really holds him back is the receiving touchdowns. And that's all of, like, Jacksonville's good offensive players. That's kind of what has always held them back for whatever reason. Like, their single-season touchdowns were always really low under Coughlin for whatever reason. Like, Brunell's record was 20. Jimmy, the most he ever had in a season, was 8. Fred had, like, 14 his rookie year, and then I don't think he ever passed 10 ever again. So just really, really, they just don't score a lot of touchdowns historically for whatever fucking reason. Strange.
This is the guy that you want to bring back? Coughlin?
Kiss the rings. Just kiss the rings.
Is that it for us, Ryan? Are we done?
Yeah, that's
this
it, man.
A hell of a long podcast. So I guess just to wrap us up, thank you, Arif, for coming on. Go ahead and plug all your work, your Twitter handle, and everything like that. I already have the outline closed, so
yeah,
I'm not going to remember it off the top of my head.
No worries. You can find me on Twitter at Arif Hassan NFL. If you can't spell that, that sucks. Then you can also find my work at coldomaha.com or 1500ESPN.com. I wrote an article about how much I'm in love with the Vikings defensive line over at 1500ESPN, so check that out.
All right, yeah. And Arif is awesome on Twitter, so definitely give him a follow on Twitter. Thank you for coming on the show. Everybody, thank you for listening to. I know this was a long one, so if you stuck through the whole thing and stuck through backup or Bortles, props to you. Like, you're the real winner because neither one of these teams, I wish that they both could lose, honestly.
That was the most entertaining game that's going to happen this week.
If you stuck through backup or Bortles, we want you to play instead of playing. That's the price.
So on that note, like I said, thank you for listening, rating and reviewing us on iTunes. If you are a new listener and you haven't done that, please do that and give us a 5-star review. It really helps with the outreach. If you don't have iTunes, you can on Blog Talk Radio on their wonderful platform that they have there. And the new episodes are also uploaded onto SoundCloud. So a bunch of different options for you guys. Things this weekend, it's probably going to be a really ugly, sloppy game. So on that note, I don't know if we're going to have a guest next week or not. This season is thankfully winding down. We'll probably start talking about coaching candidates and shit like that and draft more in the future. So we will see you guys next week.